Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Still rocking and rolling right here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Little top Ben Strober behind the glass answering your calls at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. A lot more to get to. We'll get to the heavyweight piece of the night is what I'm calling this. The needle mover. The story that, to me, changes my perspective on the University of Maryland and really college athletics as a whole. So this was dropped by Taylor Lyons of the Baltimore Sun This was updated about at 6:33. So former Terp Taylor Lyons. So obviously he's got plenty of pull and inside info on what the hell goes on behind the walls of College Park. This article is a bombshell. The title reads, stupid advertisement. The title reads, Inside Kevin Willard's and Damon Evans' Chaotic Exits, Maryland Got Screwed. Maryland got screwed. So the opening line of this article, the lead, is that? That's not the lead, is it? No, the lead is the headline.
No, that's the lead.
That is the lead. My journalism class from back in 2018 is finally coming to fruition here on the air. So the lead of this story says, Kevin Willard's frustration with Maryland dated to his first week on the job in 2022. I'm going to try my best to get you all of the key details in this piece. We'll have Kevin Sheehan joining us coming up at about 8:20. But man, I mean, this piece is such a damning indictment on University of Maryland athletics. And shout out to Taylor Lyons getting the inside scoop on this. I know he probably ticked a lot of people off during the creation of this piece, all the different sources he had to talk to. Some of the things that stood out to me right away. The coach also felt the athletic department placed too much responsibility on him and disagreed with the staff and boosters about how to allocate NIL spending, Geller said. Now, I want to properly title Harry Geller, worked closely with Kevin Willard and founded two NIL collectives that funded Maryland basketball. So for him to be sourced in this story, this is somebody that's right there in the decision room, in the situation room, so to speak, making all of these decisions. So he gets it. So that was from Geller. They then go on to say, this is a little bit later on in the article, Maryland men's basketball didn't have I may have quoted this inaccurately. So basically there was a gripe between Willard and the university because, look, we don't have a GM. And Iowa just hired some big silly as their new GM. But it's in the ever-changing landscape of college athletics, having a GM is now super important when it comes to the NIL era. So Terps hired one for football in 2023, and is still the only program at Maryland that has a general manager. Now, basketball and baseball and lax for that matter too will probably be the other sports that could use one. But yeah, that's here nor there. So Geller, along with fellow donors Harvey Sanders and Stan Goldstein, offered to take on the responsibilities of a GM themselves. They collaborated with Coach Willard to decide how to divide the money across the roster, while some of Maryland's competitors had full-time staff committed to those duties. So Kevin Willard was very vocal about there needing to be wholesale changes made to the program. What did he call them? Systemic changes, fundamental changes needed to happen to the program. That was a big piece of it. You feel like you can't compete and you're behind the eight ball when you aren't allocating the necessary resources to NIL. Like, point blank. That's what happens when you don't properly allocate the resources to NIL. You fall behind, and there are decisions that end up being made that really can screw over your program, like this one. So Geller suggested to Coach Willard that they pay every player on the roster. Now, I don't know if that's common practice amongst college basketball. Like, if you're the 12th man on the University of Florida, you getting the bag too? Are they paying you NIL money too? So Geller suggested that Willard pay every player on the roster. But Willard pushed back and said he only wanted to pay its top eight players. Geller, rightfully so, worried about what Willard's plan would do to team chemistry, disobeyed. Little Top, you gotta chime in on this, because as I'm reading it again, it's frustrating. So this is what happens. Geller went against the wishes of the head coach and paid every player on the roster, all 12 guys, maybe more than 12 guys on the University of Maryland's basketball roster. But when you think about some of the financial issues that Willard had before, right? Think about one of his chief complaints was their inability to stay an extra night in New York. Well, maybe if you weren't paying all 12 guys on the roster, you'd have enough money to stay the night in New York. For Geller to go directly against what Kevin Willard said, I have a problem with that. But I get the dilemma that Geller's saying. Geller's like, look, I just am like, if you don't pay all 12 guys on the roster and only the top eight are getting paid, how do those dudes have relationships with each other? I get that. But at the same time, why didn't they have the money to pay everybody on the roster and not have it be a thing?
It's just so problematic that there's, you know, supposedly the volunteer or the employee here that is having to run the NIL collective, yeah, essentially, and figure out who gets paid what. One, that should not have been Geller's job.
No.
And he took it upon himself because he understood that this is what needs to happen to be competitive in college basketball. But for him and Willard to be butting heads, that's such a big problem. And like you said, fundamental changes need to be made. Yeah, Kevin Willard's part of that.
Yeah, but Kevin, well, this is the thing, and I'm trying to play devil's advocate for Willard here.
Sure, sure.
This is why you need a GM. Kevin Willard was essentially the GM. Basically, you don't hire guys to help you out and then shoot down all of their suggestions. And that's what seems like was happening between Kevin Willard and Geller at Maryland. So this is a quote from the piece as well. And this actually kind of made me chuckle. When Braden Pierce, who played in all of 6 minutes his whole career here, was still getting $2,000 a month, that meant something to Willard, Geller said. You damn right it does. Because guess what? Two bands could have paid for us to stay the night in New York. I'm paying this Jag that doesn't do a damn thing for us. Now, I'm being facetious a little bit when I say that. He's a practice player. He's part of the practice. He travels with the team. He shows up to all the workouts. He's making all the sacrifices that the other players are making. It's just he's not contributing to winning.
He also got hurt, though, which is the thing with him. He had a freak eye incident, which kept him out for the remainder of the year. He would have played a lot more minutes. So, you know, that nugget, I'd say, like them putting out that he played the 6 minutes, there's truth to it because, you know, he had the injury.
Yeah.
But he would have contributed more. He deserved to be paid, especially because he would have had a somewhat large role. He wasn't going to get significant minutes, but they could have used his depth. He was a huge dude to come off the bench.
Well, since they got no production from the bench outside of Geronimo consistently.
I don't know if he would have helped that much, but he would have been a body for if guys got in foul trouble, which happened pretty often.
But what do you think about that? First of all, let's just pretend that Braden Pierce wasn't going to be a part of the rotation.
Okay.
The 12th man making $2,000 a month. This is why I always say it, man. Y'all kids that are growing up now, and that makes me sound so old. But I graduated high school 10 years ago. NIL was just starting to burst onto the scene. I would have taken high school sports so much more serious. Imagine getting a scholarship to play at the University of Maryland, never playing a minute and getting two racks a month. It's a dream job. How would you not want that? I'm sure Braden Pierce walking around in essentials, fear of God, got it all on. Yeezy boots, Yeezy runners, Balenciaga runners. That's what you're supposed to do when you get two bands a month. That's bread, bro.
And you get the perk of standing out, being an athlete on campus. You're going to go places. And given how tall he was, yeah, he looks like a guy in the basketball team. Someone go to him, you on the basketball team? You go, yeah, I get paid $2,000 a month to be on the basketball team.
Come on. I think he's...
I mean, you're gonna score with some ladies talking like that.
I'm about to say, bro, I know he ain't have no problem out of town.
I mean, with the height, you're not going to have a problem anyway.
Exactly.
But the money is a plus.
Two bands a month is nothing to sneeze at. So I want to continue to go through this article while we have the time here. Kevin Sheehan is going to join us coming up here momentarily. But as we continue to scroll through this, there's one part that I really want to get to. Kevin Willard and Damon Evans never liked each other from the moment Kevin Willard signed his contract there. Quote, there was always a rift, said Gellert. Willard had an attitude about it the whole time, and Damon didn't do much to help it. The two of them went at it. They butted heads from the beginning. In the end, they both had exit strategies, and Maryland got screwed. That's the part of this that I want to hone in on. Did Maryland get screwed? That's what I want to hone in on. Because based on some of the details in this article, Kevin Willard wouldn't have left if he had an AD to negotiate a contract with. That's why I'm like, how the hell did they get Buzz Williams here? Who negotiated his deal? It's all fascinating to me, man. There's a blurb in here that I want to read. In Willard's news conference in March, a day before Maryland's first March Madness game in Seattle, and 10 days before he bolted College Park for Villanova, during which he divulged Evans' plans to leave Maryland for the same job at Southern Methodist. Kevin Willard is a filthy animal, low-key, too. When he announced that Evans was leaving, didn't you hear and feel like the tone of that was, yeah, man, my bro just told me he was getting ready to jump ship. They can't stand each other. He's out here spilling all his tea.
A personal anecdote about this whole situation, yeah, and the article details how everyone in the program, the players, knew that he was leaving despite him, yeah, saying he was using it for leverage. I was sitting in the damn airport at, mm-hmm, Dulles getting ready to fly out west, a 6-hour flight, have the tailwinds going at your face, so it's an even longer flight, getting ready to go out to San Francisco to call that Sweet 16 game, and the Maryland Burner community, shout out to those boys and girls, I don't know the identities, could be boys and girls, right, in that chat. That information was leaked that Willard had already took the Villanova job, and I was sitting there on the plane going, damn, I'm really about to fly 3,000 miles away, yeah, and this team is going to play like nothing because everybody knows that he's gone.
Yeah.
And that was just really, really tough to swallow, knowing that the coach had his foot out the door already. It already felt that way before I received that information, but to have it be confirmed told me that the players 100% knew, and that's what Gillespie's dad details in this story.
We'll continue to move throughout this piece and parse through it after we finish our conversation with Kevin Sheehan, but to put a bow on my thoughts of this entire thing, after reading this article, the number one thing that stands out to me is the program that I loved rooting for growing up, the University of Maryland, as far as basketball and football, because I'm just a homer and everything. I don't think they're going to be able to compete in the arms race that now is college athletics. I don't think they have the resources. I think they'll be able to compete in basketball because I think they have their NIL collective. They have responsible people overseeing that right now. That's why Buzz Williams was able to get the sweetheart deal that he got. And if you look inside the details of that deal, he ain't going nowhere. He's handsomely paid and is going to have plenty of NIL resources. You're already seeing it the way the Terps have used the portal. But I don't think the University of Maryland as a program is going to be able to compete. I'll take it a step further. I don't think any of the schools in the DMV are going to be able to compete moving forward on a big scale, on a large scale, when it comes to the ever-changing landscape of college athletics, because we just simply don't have the resources. Sad. Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, joins us next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The party continues right here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, for the first time this program, we want to go out to the Rude Guest Hotline, where we find our pal Kevin Sheehan, the host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 on our sister station, the Team 980. Kevin, we appreciate you making some time for us tonight, man. How are you?
What's up, Linnell? How you doing?
I'm good. I say I'm good in life normally, but I'm a big Terp fan. Grew up rooting for this program. I'm a homer through and through. The bombshell that came out earlier this morning in the Baltimore Sun, I think, really shed some light on the tumultuous exit of Kevin Willard and Damon Evans from the program. When you got to parse through this thing, what was your first blush reaction, Kevin?
Honestly, I guess one of the reasons I didn't view it as a bombshell is I think I knew a lot of this stuff.
Well, that's why
you know,
to have
and I've
you.
Known a lot of this stuff for some time. So, I don't know that I really felt like it was a bombshell. I thought it might be, and then once I started to read it, you know, there was a lot in here that I think a lot of us that have been, you know, even on the periphery of the people that know what's going on, had, you know, an idea that a lot of this was going on. I think, you know, there's his side, her side, and then somewhere in between is usually the truth. In breakups, I think this is 100% that situation. There's their side, there's his side, and the truth lies somewhere in between. The one thing that sort of was confirmed in this story is even though everybody couldn't stand Damon Evans, with the exception of Mike Locksley, there's no doubt that Kevin Willard, and I think this story sort of emphasizes it, would have signed a deal and stayed had Damon Evans not left. And I'm not sure everybody knows that.
So that's the part in this that I think is very interesting. So to peel the curtain back a little bit for the listening audience, imagine you're a contracted salaried employee and you're trying to negotiate a new deal and there's no boss to negotiate the deal with. That is the scenario that Kevin Willard was dealing with. And when you think about the lack of trust that he already had within the walls of the program, you understand why he wasn't just comfortable negotiating with just anybody. I think the big winner in this ultimately is going to be Buzz Williams. But the question I have, Kevin, is knowing the ever-changing landscape of college athletics, does the University of Maryland, are they going to have the resources to be able to keep up with this arms race?
Well, yeah, they're in the Big Ten, you know. So with what went through the other day with respect to the judge, you know, sort of approving this new salary cap plan, you know, they're going to have $20.5 million or up to $20.5 million to spend on men's football, men's basketball, and, you know, then maybe a little bit to some of the other, you know, sports. So they're going to be in position to, you know, beyond NIL. NIL is now going to be separate from, you know, the conference dollars that go to each school, and a big portion of that, you know, creates what we will have in terms of the Power Fours in terms of a salary cap of up to $20.5 million. Now, each school can handle the $20.5 million the way they want. And in, you know, a lot of the Big Ten schools, it'll be, you know, 90% to football, you know, or 85% to football, 10% to basketball, and then 5% to everything else. You know, I think one of the things that Kevin got, you know, the administration and some of the people in the athletic department that were left, you know, to commit to, which I think it sort of dovetails off of what you said about Buzz Williams being the beneficiary of all this, is maybe a bigger commitment to basketball than almost anybody else in the Big Ten, or certainly at the upper echelons of it. And you and I both know, having, you know, lived here our whole lives, Maryland's a basketball first school.
Yes.
You know, it's alum, it's fan base, it's students. They love basketball first. Football is a distant second to basketball. So we'll see what happens. But I think, you know, the athletic department, the administration was in need of some help. And I think the ugly exit from maybe both sides maybe affected some change that will benefit the new coach.
I agree 100%. There's one excerpt in here from Geller that what was interesting to me, and I wonder what you thought about the decision that was ultimately made, talking about Brayton Pierce and the decision to continue to pay every man on the roster their $2,000 per month. Willard wanted just to pay the top eight guys. Geller pushed back because he thought it would, you know, ruffle the feathers and hurt team chemistry. For Geller to go behind Willard's back, essentially, and do what he wanted to do, does that kind of provide you an example of why it's so pivotal for all of these schools to have a general manager and a staff?
No doubt.
You know, to make these decisions, because Kevin Willard shouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, Maryland didn't have what a lot of schools had the last year or two, and that is somebody to run all this, a general manager. They had a lot of people who are very high up in terms of the donors and people who care about Maryland a lot, but are sort of volunteers in these positions. And I'm sure some frustration stemmed from that. Specific to Brayden Pierce and $2,000, I read that. I just don't have any perspective, Linnell. I don't know how other schools do it. Right. I mean, are just the top eight guys paid and the bottom four guys or walk-ons not paid? Brayden Pierce wasn't a walk-on, but I don't have enough of information. I'm ignorant on how the dollars sort of get doled out after the first, you know, three or four star players.
Kevin, I'll tell you the first thing I thought. Kevin Willard had lost his damn mind. Braden Pierce shows up to practice every day. Braden Pierce is a part of the scout team. Braden Pierce is required to go on these road trips. To act as if you can't, to not pay everyone on the roster, if you have like a team NIL deal or something like that, is crazy to me. I don't know where that $2,000 a month number comes from, but you know what I started thinking immediately, Kevin? Damn, if I would have just took football a little bit more serious at some point in high school, maybe I could have made some big dollars. Yeah. But no,
well,
it's crazy,
I mean,
bro.
Braden Pierce has options, right?
Right.
This is... You know, this is a market economy situation the last few years, and if the bottom four players or the bottom, you know, whatever players weren't getting paid, then he could have gone somewhere else where they did pay those bottom four players or where he wasn't a bottom four player. I don't know enough about how it works. I don't know if it would be disruptive to team chemistry. You know, remember, all of these players are still getting, you know, in upwards of about 200 grand in value of tuition, room, board, you know, coaching, training, you know, meals, tutoring, all of that stuff that comes with being a big-time Division I college athlete.
Joined right now by Kevin Sheehan, the host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 on our sister station, the Team 980. Something else that stood out, the tone of this article. Kevin, I wanted to get your opinion on that as well. The one of the headlines reads, Maryland got screwed. And I had a hard time understanding that until I went and, you know, sifted through the article more. Damon Evans leaving the way that he did, knowing what the University of Maryland did for him, providing him an opportunity after, realistically, maybe his career as an AD should have been over after the off the, you know, court stuff that he got into. What did you make of that piece of all of this? And do you think that, you know, Damon Evans screwed the university?
Yeah, I mean, these. I know that this seems like a big reveal in this story, but I think a lot of people that have followed it very closely understood that Damon Evans leaving for SMU after everything that Maryland had done administratively to sort of support him, to give him this opportunity. And then there just was a lot of stuff, you know, going back to the last, you know, coach, Mark Turgeon. Mm-hmm. He had a terrible relationship with Damon. Kevin did. A lot of people had bad relationships with not only Damon, but people in Damon's office, who then became associate athletic director after he left. The whole thing was an S show of the highest order. Again, the truth is somewhere in between, but I always suggested right from the beginning that, you know, whether, you know, Kevin handled it the right way or not, he's the second good college basketball player that just decided Maryland wasn't good enough for them. So something needs to change. And maybe it did over those few weeks and couple of months. And they were able to attract a first-rate athletic director, you know, and really a hell of a college basketball coach in Buzz Williams. So hopefully everything turns around. And, you know, once they start to play the games, a lot of this stuff gets forgotten, and the people that are on the inside have to deal with it. We'll find out, you know, in the coming years if there was significant change, but I bet there was.
So one thing that was also brought up here was the lack of success that Mike Locksley has had at the helm during his six seasons at the University of Maryland, second worst winning percentage, fewest total wins in the Big Ten. The relationship between Locksley and Damon Evans, I know a lot of folks have spoken about that, and they actually seem to have, according to people I've spoke to, got along pretty well. Does it have anything to do with how long of a leash Mike Locksley has had at Maryland and with this recruiting class that they've brought in, highlighted by Malik Washington finally having, you know, another highly touted quarterback? Do you think his clock is kind of ticking here at UMD?
Well, Mike Locksley, until this year, he had three seasons in which they won seven or eight games and won three straight bowl games. Now, they certainly weren't in contention for a Big Ten, you know, Eastern Division title and a berth in the Big Ten title game. They weren't in contention for any sort of playoff berth. I understand that. But what he did in three consecutive seasons hadn't been done in a long, long time. He had an answer quarterback in Leah Tungavailoa to his younger brother. And this past year was a bad year because they had, you know, it was the first year in four without Leah. Right. So he needs a quarterback. Everybody needs a quarterback. And they just don't have even though he's recruited at a pretty good level,
it's the resources.
They still just don't have the talent.
But and that's the thing, Kevin, that gets me with all of this, and it goes back and weaves itself into this story. Maryland's a basketball school primarily. We know that. So when this $20.5 million is divvied out, if I'm locked, I'm looking at them like, hey, man, you all brought me here because of I'm from the area. I was born and raised here. I'm trying to help us retain our local talent, but these dudes cost now, and I simply don't have the resources to compete with the other schools in the conference and in the country to keep the best high school talent here. I wonder, like, he's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, they certainly haven't had it from an NIL standpoint, yeah. That's for sure, which, by the way, really kind of reveals how good of a recruiter
he is.
Loxley really is to attract some of the players that he's been able to attract without the NIL and collective budgets that some of these other schools have had. But, you know football. It's not 22 players.
Right.
It's 100, and you got to have depth, and you got to reload, and you got to be able to build. And I think for three straight years, as a diehard Maryland football fan, they were competitive. They had a couple of close games. They actually had a chance at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
They had a chance against
Michigan.
Yep. You know, those teams with Aaliyah were pretty decent, and they won more games than they lost. They went to bowl games, and look, would I love to be in a Big Ten title game and be in a 12-team playoff? Absolutely. It would be incredible. But their best chance to win a national championship is in men's basketball.
Yeah.
Period. And it's always been that way.
Yeah. Real quick here, Kevin, to wrap up the Maryland discussion, I don't know your folks that you've talked to over there, can we get a Malik Washington scouting report? Does he have a chance to start potentially maybe as a true freshman, or will they go with one of the transfers?
It's a good question. I know that there's a lot of excitement over him, and what the options may not be as good, but, you know, I'd be lying to you if I told you that I sat there and spent a lot of time watching the spring game or following it. You can get guys like Jeff Herman on to talk about football depth charts. And I'll be all over it when we get to September, trust me.
For sure.
You know, and we're going through August. But I can't tell you right now a lot about their depth chart.
Number one most intriguing storyline for you going in the Commanders' mandatory minicamp tomorrow?
Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
You know, what does he look like? What's his health? What's his condition? You know, I'm not going to sit there and be, you know, on pins and needles to find out if he'll answer why he couldn't post for one OTA day as a new guy in a new system where, you know, 87 of the other 90 players did. But I think his condition, his health, all of that will be interesting to find out. And I'm sure we'll find out something tomorrow on that. You know, after that, there's the Terry situation and
I wanted to ask you about that because I heard you giving your take on that earlier this morning. And the Terry thing's fascinating to me. Breer joined Grant and Danny and started off his answer to the Terry thing saying the negotiations are, quote, not in a good place. I know we all anticipate him re-signing because it just would seem like it's crazy talk for them not to get it done. It would kind of be contradictory to what they've been trying to build. But think about what one of our chief complaints were last year, Kevin, about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. It didn't feature Terry McLaurin. Do you think because of the offense, there maybe is less of a value on a true number one because it's the ball being spread out the way it is? And I know Terry is a top of the class wide receiver. But do you think that thought process has gone into this negotiation at all?
I think there are a lot of things that have gone into it. I think his age, I think the fact that he's a really good receiver, but he's not an elite receiver. That's my opinion, but I don't put him anywhere near the Jefferson Chase category. I don't put anybody else. I think he's in a group, you know, after Chase and Jefferson, and maybe you go A.J. Brown, and, you know, then there's a group of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys. You put them in a hat. If you pick any of them out, they're all going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
But his age, the fact that he is not, you know, an absolute elite take over a game kind of a receiver, that plays into it. And at the same time, from his standpoint, he is really, really good. They're trying to win the whole thing this year. They need him to do it. He's a great guy. He's a culture setter. He is the opposite of a lot of the receivers in football today. He's an anti-diva. He's a phenomenal, you know, face in yep. many ways yep. of the franchise, even though that title really goes to Jaden.
Yeah.
You know, I think this, when I read that last week, I'm like, I can see why this isn't going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just throw in this too, because I talked about this on my podcast today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the first real player that the new ownership group will pay. You know, they paid Cosme mm-hmm. for, you know, 74 for 4 years, but like 40 of it was guaranteed. You know, they had a couple of multi-year deals. They gave Kinlaw $30 million guaranteed. But this is going to be
yeah.
70-plus million of guaranteed dollars, another 30 to 40 escrowed, maybe more than that. And this is an organization that needed 20-plus limited partners to buy the team at $6 billion. They
yeah.
put in close to $100 million just to keep the stadium upright, to make the experience better and to make it safe. And they've got massive expenditures coming. Jaden's contract in 27, RFK, a Tunsil deal probably coming up sometime next offseason in the form of a massive extension. So there's a lot in play here,
I think. That's interesting.
I think there's just a lot in play. Look, do I think they can't – do I think that they're cash-strapped and they can't afford them? No. Do I think – as part of the planning, they're looking at this saying, this is a more of a delicate situation because mm-hmm. of everything else? Yeah, I think that's possible.
How much does them spending a third and a fourth on wide receivers the past 2 years have to do with this, do you think? Does that enter their thought process?
No, but if they had used a first on a wide receiver, it would have been hurt
right.
my thought process.
100%, right? Yeah.
I mean, Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane, I mean, I think Lane's going to be a punt returner for sure, and maybe he'll be more than
well,
that.
Well, Kevin, I'll tell you this. Was out there the other day. I'll be out there the next 3 days. He's gonna have a significant role from the get-go. Here's another nugget. I gave this earlier. Peter Schrager on Get Up, you know, he's now on ESPN, randomly name-dropped Jalen Lane as a guy that was going to be a big contributor for the Commanders. You know, his bestie is Cliff Kingsbury. So I am drinking the Jalen Lane Kool-Aid.
I hope you're right.
Yes.
But I can tell you that over the years, and I've been doing this for a while, mm-hmm. and is that this time of year produces a lot of names like Antonio Gandy-Golden
uh-huh.
and Thaddeus Moss and Jimmy Moreland, all of whom were probably mentioned by somebody on ESPN yeah. along the way, who our fan base absolutely were convinced were going to be candidates for Rookie of the Year.
Jimmy Moreland's a deep cut.
And it's really hard to know this time of year because they haven't gone up against anybody
yeah.
playing true tackle football.
It's going to be interesting. Kevin, appreciate you giving me some right. time as always, man. We'll chop it up soon.
All right, hope you're well.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For
you
having
too,
me.
Man. That is Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 on the Team 980. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, The Athletic throwing some gas at Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson. That is next here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
one 800 636 1067 is the number right here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Skiing downhill the rest of the way. A couple items we want to get into before Jason Lock and Ford joins us, top of the 9 o'clock hour. Bill Belichick catching more and more heat for his involvement with Jordan Hudson. I am stunned, first and foremost, that this has happened. When I say this has happened, I'm talking about Belichick, first and foremost, not coaching in the NFL next year, not doing television, taking his talents to college, and he's got a 20-year-old girlfriend, or however the hell old she is. Let me chill, because I know the younger days, the worse it seems. My bad, Bill. My bad. But y'all get what I'm saying, man. When you think about how buttoned up and close to the vest Bill Belichick was with things in New England and the Patriot way and all that, for him to be moving like he's moving right now, what we call this is dragging. He is dragging. I ain't talking about a fire-breathing animal. He's dragging his kahunas. I can't believe how Bill Belichick is acting. It's going to make for good entertainment. I don't know how good UNC will be this year, as I'm not really familiar with who they have on the roster. That's the other thing. Bill Belichick, you're Coach Belichick. Your first college job is supposed to be at a blue blood organization, right? Miami, Penn State, right? Ohio State, Bama, not North Carolina. How good is University of North Carolina going to be? Because at some point, if you're the university, I get it, right? He's probably your best chance. They can be good soon. I can see both sides of the spectrum here. There is a lure. If I was a high school kid and Bill Belichick's coming into my home to recruit me, maybe I'll take a little bit less of an NIL bag because I know I'm going to a place where I'm going to be trained to be a pro. But That's where I kind of worry about with Belichick. Like, how good of a recruiter is he? Is that the role that Jordan Hudson's playing in all this? Let me chill before I get in trouble. But think about it. If you're Bill Belichick, you want to come here and sign at University of North Carolina, and then maybe you can get a kiss on the cheek from Jordan Hudson if you sign right now. Let me imagine what's going on. The Athletic put out a story basically saying that, yeah, there's some frustration at Chapel Hill in terms of what's going on with old Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson's involvement. Now, to Belichick's defense, if I was him, I'd tell all y'all to kiss my tuchus. How the hell are you all going to tell me who I could date? She's my assistant. You ain't going to tell me what woman I could love. I just don't understand why everyone is so in his business with all of this. I don't get it. I don't get why everyone's so infatuated by all of this. Our guy Athan in Annapolis tweets at me and says, Bill Belichick burned a lot of bridges in the NFL. That's becoming more and more apparent now. And I have to hit the smack on the head, because I still am wondering, like, why he's not in the league. And like I said a moment ago, if you're not going to be in the league, you go to a team like North Carolina that doesn't have, you know, clout and mystique and stuff like that. I don't know, man. But this Jordan Hudson stuff, they're on Bill Belichick. Excuse my French. They're on his ass, man. I mean, every detail about this woman and his involvement with her is coming to the forefront. And the thing that I get annoyed with, it has nothing to do with football. Let the man pop his Viagras and live. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Jason Lockett, for a long time NFL insider, joins us top of the 9 o'clock hour. When we come back, it was also revealed by Pro Football Talk that Aaron Rodgers, shocker, was not plan A for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll go through how they landed on Aaron Rodgers next here on The Fan. Is the number right here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock in about 10 minutes or so. Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockin, four, one of the most plugged-in NFL insiders in the biz, going to give us some of his time. We'll ask him some burgundy and gold questions. We'll ask him about the quarterback situation in Indianapolis with the Colts. Is Anthony Richardson a dead man walking? We'll also ask him about Aaron Rodgers. And Pro Football Talk earlier today put out an article that the headline read, and I'm trying to scroll up here real quick to find it. The headline read, Aaron Rodgers reportedly was playing C for Pittsburgh behind Matthew Stafford and Justin Fields. So Mike Florio put this out about 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Ben Crawford of CBSSports.com and Shefty of ESPN had reported that the Steelers had two prior choices before settling on Aaron Rodgers. We know Pittsburgh really wanted, and I understand this because they haven't been able to find a long-term answer at quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger. Pittsburgh really wanted to give Justin Fields the keys to the franchise and let him grow and develop and potentially earn their trust for him to be the long-term starter. First of all, you idiots, you shouldn't have wasted time with Mr. Unlimited last year, Russell Wilson. That probably turned Justin Fields off from you. And apparently the reason Fields didn't sign at Pittsburgh is they were not willing to guarantee him the starting job. The Jets went out and did that. And we'll see how. First of all, that's going to be one of the more intriguing teams all year long. I think Aaron Glenn has the same impact that Dan Quinn has in terms of getting guys to play up to their absolute maximum potential. So the Jets could be a sneaky, frisky team is how I would describe them in the AFC. But when I hear this news of the Steelers having Rodgers as playing, see, you know what I think? Good. Good. But you know what I'm more disappointed in? Why was Stafford and Fields their plan A and B? If you're Pittsburgh, man, like I said it when Jaden Daniels and Penix and Drake May came out, the Steelers can't keep pussyfooting around when it comes to the quarterback position. You have to find a long-term answer. And I just feel like for years, like they tried with Kenny Pickett a couple of years back, they just haven't had one.
I mean, they could learn a lesson or two from what we did in Washington here for so many years.
Because
we were doing the same crap.
Yes.
Year in and year out, you get an Alex Smith, the Carson Wentz,
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. That, I mean, it doesn't work. You need a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. And normally, drafting and developing them is how the championship contending teams do it. Buffalo drafted and developed Josh Allen. New England going to draft and develop Drake May. Dallas drafted and developed Dak Prescott. Philly draft and develop Jalen Hurts. It's how you do it. Right, we have the conversation all the time in the NBA. Maybe you could talk about this on the Locked On Wiz podcast, Low Top. Different team-building strategies after watching the finals. In OKC in Indiana did it the untraditional route. Pacers never tanked. They acquired Halliburton via a trade from Sacramento. So, like, Pascal Siakam, their second-best player, acquired via trade from Toronto. So, in the NFL, it's one-size-fits-all. You cannot win. Well, I say that, but then Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady, right? Like, it's rare, though, that you have a quarterback, Peyton Manning, back in the day with Denver. It's rare that you have a quarterback come to a new team and win a Super Bowl.
You just brought up two GOATs.
Yes. So it's rare.
Very different.
Right? Very different. So, yeah, like, to hear that Rodgers was playing C for Pittsburgh, okay, I wonder if it's any sort of, like, external motivation for Rodgers. Now, the one thing that was reported also by Adam Schefter and the other dude from CBSSports.com, Ben Crawford, Mike Tomlin is the reason, primarily, not solely, primarily, that Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin stood on the table and said, hey, go get me a quarterback. We need a guy. And I would love to be a fly on the wall hearing the Rooneys discuss Rodgers. Because doesn't Aaron Rodgers seem like the most anti-Steeler guy ever? And I say it all the time. Media members are guilty of it. Not me, though. We have let our personal opinions about Aaron Rodgers, the person, influence how we evaluate Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. Last year was 28 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. You know how many teams out there would have taken those numbers from their starting signal caller? That would be the best quarterback play Pittsburgh's gotten a long time. So if he can throw 30 touchdowns, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, I think it's going to be a match made in heaven, him in Pittsburgh. And I also think he's not going to be asked to do a whole lot either. The other thing is this. Because Tomlin stood on the table for him, if it goes awry, if it goes south, maybe the future of Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh attached to the future of Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lock and Four are going to join us top of the 9 o'clock hour. Final hour of power coming your way. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA. Plus, we'll introduce a new staple segment we're doing here on Overtime, Burgundy in Bold. We'll wrap up the show with one bold prediction ahead of the Commanders' 2025 season. Jason Lock and Four joins us next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.